Name, image, and likeness. You and the PIAA have had to navigate a lot of different issues over the years. What's been the biggest challenge with this, especially based on Pennsylvania law?
Well, our law right now speaks only to collegiate athletes. So that has helped, and it's also been maybe a potential problem. But we want to get in front of it because there's a lot of trickle-down effect, and we've been watching very closely our brother and sister state associations. And right now, I believe there's 12 of them that have adopted an NIL policy, and there's another 10 on the drawing board. So the tough part about this, Steve, is the misinformation. Some people like to use catchphrases, and this has been thrown out there as pay for play, which it's not, and that has really caused some issues for us here.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about is pay for play. And every state has a different law or the interpretation. Quinn Ewers, who is now at the University of Texas, has always been really the poster child of what I'm about to talk about, because he was, as a high schooler, he would not be allowed to get any name, image, and likeness deals in Texas. So he reclassified and went to Ohio State for 4 months, 5 months, and then finally transferred to Texas. As a collegian, how often do you and state associations talk to each other about what the respective laws are in each state to get a better gauge?
Well, we're fortunate. There's 8 states in our section. We're Section 2 of the NFHS out of the 51 state associations. And our brother and sisters are Delaware, D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and ourselves in Maryland. And right now, they're all talking about them. Our friends to New Jersey have a policy. Our friends to the north in New York has a policy. Ohio defeated theirs, but the reason they defeated theirs, from the information we have, is because they put the onus on the school. Some schools thought they had to approve this, and nobody wants to get involved in that. So our section talks weekly, and we have shared with them where we are with this. And it is really the middle-of-the-road type language, Steve. And the other part of it is we wanted to get in front of it because we don't want to see a student that's a senior get caught in the net, so to speak, that people are out there fishing for sharks and they catch dolphins. That's not a good thing. So we want to work with a group and provide education to moms and dads to know what they can be doing and what they can't. And paying students to play is not one of them.
Is there any talk, Bob, in the Pennsylvania legislative system of expanding this so that high schoolers could be a part of a name, image, and likeness and not be pay for play, but expanding the definition of what they have in the state?
I'm not aware of that, Steve, at this time. I'm sure there's conversation. But I think with that, with the eye on that a little bit, we would like to develop our own language that our member schools would like, that they're comfortable with, instead of having a top-down approach that you have to accept what is given to you.
How would you feel about federal legislation, where there would be a sense of unified law?
You know what? If everybody's singing from that same hymnal, I think that would be all right. But the NCAA has walked away from that and sort of dumped, you know, you talk to Dan over there in the football ops office, or Matt in the Pitt football ops office, they're going to tell you at the collegiate level it's like the Wild Wild West. Well, heck, we don't want that to happen. We want to get in front of this and provide a proactive approach to mom and dad and guardians and family so they can make educated decisions and not get caught up in something as simple as tax implications or financial implications that students at 18 years of age aren't ready for.
Exactly. Believe me, there are adults of 28 years of age aren't ready for it either.
We could go higher than that, brother.
You're right. We could go higher in a number than that in terms of the age. No question. So if you've talked to enough associations within the states, what direction do you idealistically, if you had a chance to sit down with the legislature, and you've had your chances, obviously, but to talk about this issue, what would be a couple of ideas that they would need to consider legislatively that could make a difference?
Well, I think the language that we've come up with to not have school employed or affiliated people with booster clubs or coaches, administrators, alumni, they cannot solicit, arrange, or negotiate or pay for a student's use of their NIL or even give consideration to the student for a use of their NIL. And not use school name, nickname, uniform, any school identifying apparel or involved with PIAA or their member school in it. That would be a really good start. And that's the language we have that we've sort of taken from California, New Jersey, and New York. It's real simple, it's the middle of the road, and we think that would be a great foundation to start with this.
Bob, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time and for all the hard work that you and the entire PIAA happens to do.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Steve. Always good to talk to you.